Cyberpunk Week. That's right, everything from evil corporations to nanobot technology to other stylish techno thrillers. We are talking video game that beat its infamous movie to consoles everywhere. We got gamer himself, Shane O'Hare from the Geekscape Network, on to dissect the process. Welcome.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me.
So I'm your host, Sully. This is going to be just a wacky, cheesy spy discussion, because so rare that you get, you know, for the longest time, I thought, oh, this movie, it's loosely based on a video game. And they're like, no, it's just, it had a game tie-in.
Yeah. First, I want to put this on the record, on the air. Sully, you are an amazing human being. I've had to postpone this recording, which feels like a dozen times.
I have to be patient with everyone, and I'm if I'm not recording every day, I'm editing every day. So I'm just.
But I want everyone to know how gracious you are. Our time zone difference is not insignificant, but it was enough. And I travel a lot for work, so yeah. Everybody who's listening,
work takes Sully, priority.
Great guy. But okay. You posted on your Instagram an X Ballistics X versus Sever photo, and I commented like, "Oh, did you know there's a actually good Game Boy Advance GBA mm-hmm. game for this?" And that's how we got put together.
We've been overdue for a collab, and then it's just like that one comment. I was like, "Perfect." I love talking about lesser known tie in media. Like, hey, did you know there's a comic book based on this? You know, infamous TV show. You know, it's always fun talking about stuff that everyone has yet to talk about.
Yeah, which reminds me, there's a moderately successful GameCube game called Killer 7, which had a wildly cool comic book, but the comic book wasn't selling, so it stopped. So the story never finished, and I have the issues, and it's the game is from Suda 51, Grasshopper Interactive, who made like No More Heroes.
Looking at it now, man, this looks like a fun kind of Assassin Elite. I mean, we're talking about Assassins tonight, but holy moly.
Oh, yeah, it's really cool. The art style is cool. The story is like really trippy.
And it's like Mortal Kombat meets Nikita and Running Man, kind of. It's just.
Yep. It's that cool cell shaded. The gameplay, you're on rails, so you can't really like move, but then you have to shoot, and you can change into the different assassins at will. Mm-hmm. Really cool vibe. But it sucks. I was stoked on the comics, and it just ended before the story could finish. So, but unlike our X versus Sever. So, I hadn't played the games until we chatted, and you actually informed me that there was two. I only thought there was one. But there's two games on the Game Boy Advance.
It's all good. So, I thought they were just two versions of the same one on different consoles. Like, nope, one of them was an actual sequel to said game.
Yeah. It's wild because it's based off of the 2002 blockbuster smash hit Ballistics. X versus Sever. And I last night from this recording, I actually rewatched the movie. Because it had been a while, and I watched it a couple weeks ago, but I wasn't really like tuned in because I was in my hotel room. But it was, oh boy, we'll talk about that movie.
No,
later.
It's fine. Dude. I have had a love-hate relationship with it for so long, and I never expected one of my first guests to actually be the director of the said movie. You know?
Oh, really? Oh, shoot. Okay. I got to go back and listen to that episode.
No,
that's
it's
cool.
Fine. But it's just, it's so funny. I would always encounter this, whether it was on late night HBO or TBS. I'm like, what? That's Lucy Liu. Why? She just fired a giant RPG at a bus. She's not trying to kill the guy, but she's trying to free him. This only makes sense in an anime Power Rangers kind of way. And it was stylish. It came out at the same time as other post-Matrix type movies. And
yes,
I didn't think it was a 0%, but I really found the slow motion annoying. And yet I love the damn electronic soundtrack and fights, but yet the plot is very confusing.
Yeah, there's the, so I had no idea when that movie started coming out, I was, it came out when I was 13, but I was thinking,
I was thinking, like, hey, Darth Maul's in it. That's the only reason I know about it.
Oh, that's right. That is Darth Maul. Oh shit.
It's a fun fact. I had a, my pal, Captain Cartoon. He has a fun show where he records from his indie comic book shop. And he actually once took a VHS for Ray Park to sign. And Ray was like, really? This is the one you want me to sign?
That's fun. Like, it didn't click to me until you said it, because at the end of the movie he plays like the second in command for the bad guy. Yeah,
Greg Henry, and who's been in every Brian De Palma movie kind of.
Yeah. And then so he's like got like this British guy with a turtleneck, and then it's all of a sudden he goes into like a hardcore, you know, air quotes, kung fu fight with Lucy Liu with Lucy Liu at the end. And I was like there was no like indication that this guy was capable of this, and he just
saving
suddenly
the best
like
for last.
it was so dumb. Yep. But the couple of things that stand out, the soundtrack was really cool. I don't have, let's see if I can get a list, because I definitely recognized a bunch of the tracks. Oh yeah, Name of the Game was on there. Crystal Method. Mm-hmm. BT.
Who's big, I even used to own the soundtrack and gave it to a friend.
So. Hell yeah, yeah. Okay. Curve,
Hell Above the Water. Just Andy Hunter. Yep. I used to own a bunch of his music before he kind of faded. I don't know what happened, but yeah, it's just
yeah. That's now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, now I remember all these songs. Cause I'm a DJ as well. Primarily like EDM music.
So you do everything from Deadmau5 to Chemical Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I was big into the Matrix soundtracks. This movie wanted to be the Matrix so bad. And I was talking to my friend, who's also a DJ and really into bad movies. And I was like, yo, I'm recording about these video games that are based off this movie, X versus Sever. And he's like, I've never even heard of that.
And it's been removed from streaming, I think, back in like 2021 or something. Yeah.
I had to sail the high seas to get my coffee. He looked it up, and I'm gonna a light swear, PG-13 swear, but he looked it up and he's like, man, it looks like a shitty version of Equilibrium.
Oh, it's so wild, because I that's another one, is like, it was roasted when it came out, and then it kind of became kind of a cult movie on cable TV airings. It's like, what's that movie with where Batman is like taking down the government 1984 style, but with Matrix moves and using his guns as weapons, but not even firing them half the time? Yeah.
Dude, it's this movie wanted to be the Matrix and wanted to be Equilibrium, it wanted to be Mission Impossible.
Oh, totally, it's Mission Impossible. We've joked about how Banderas is kind of still in assassin's mode at points, but then there's all this other tech and the way it's lit that almost makes you feel like, is this kind of like Eraser with Schwarzenegger or Enemy of the State?
Oh,
some off the grid fugitive movie meets Cat and Mouse. Yeah.
And it was this movie is so scattershot. What the one thing that stood out to me, like right off the bat, and we will get to the games, but the movie is the games
we can't talk about either without the other, because like the games are complex and the movie's complex, but for different reasons, like it's just...
So the games, too long, didn't listen, the games are good, but the movie isn't to any capacity. Well, I mean, I enjoyed watching it. But
it's
the thing,
fine,
that,
dude, just say what you want. Say what you want, man. I understand that this movie is lowbrow and I just have fun with it, but it only took a few viewings for me to really have any fun with it. Because for a while I would watch it and then I would constantly be like, oh, what the fuck? It was so close.
Yeah. The thing that just, and it might have been my less than legit copy that I could scrounge up, but the sound design and the sound balancing was like the sound staging, all the effects were up in the front when they should have been in the middle or in the back, if that's a good analogy. Like if you're thinking of like an actual like Dolby like theater digital, stage.
Yeah.
So the like the Foley, like the sound effects of people walking were so loud and pronounced, and the music doesn't stop. Like there's constantly like a very loud bed of like electronic music or like tense full strings. And that stood out to me, where it was just like man, like maybe this is my copy, or maybe they just mix this like poorly.
It was always a last minute hack job. And it was one of those where, you know, not only did the director get fired without being told, but even the composer, I think it was like Raven was attached, and then they replaced Don Davis, who, you know, from Matrix, you know.
Wow, I didn't know that.
You can read various other things about him. In my chat, we mainly just focused on other cool stuff. I kind of compared him to Cyborg and Nemesis director Albert Pion. I just always felt like they were two similar, directors who, you know, one's Filipino and this, you know, Chaos, with Kaya Sayanata, is, you know, from Thailand, and they both kind of got taken advantage of by Studio Zex, who kind of just wanted to make mindless movies, but they weren't doing it fast enough. So then they, you know,
but that sucks. So do you think there's a good movie here?
I do, but unfortunately I don't think we're ever going to see it, just because the director's just too close to everything he does. He's gone on to better stuff, I think, with Mark Dacascos of Iron Chef and John Wick 3 fame, but I think because he's just associates so much annoyances behind the scenes with this movie, he had fun at first, you know, filming the stunts and trying to make a more French Connection bullet kind of cop movie. And then it just kept getting spiraling into, hey, let's add more confusing stuff. You know,
I'm looking up Chaos right now, and he definitely has a style looking at the movies. He did a Tekken Kazuya's Revenge movie.
Another One Night in Bangkok, part of, but wanted to take his name off of. So, you know, I think he's been through the ringer so many times, and he's done a lot of commercials and everything. And I think he's just been to that point where, you know, unless he can do a movie where he has some creative control and studios leave him alone, he's not interested, you know.
Okay, so he's been like a punching bag.
Yeah, he wants to do Michael Mann and John Woo type blockbusters, as opposed to, you know, whatever you say. So, you know, Franchise Pictures is no more. As we know, they've done everything from Whole Nine Yards to some David Mamet movies to Battlefield Earth. they're kind of the 90s 2000s version of Canon Films, so that's really the only way to look at this, especially when considering how the original script synopsis was kind of, it sounded way more like a Commando, and the director kind of had a Leon the Professional vibe in mind, a kid is snatched, you know, and the assassin's keeping him warm like a teddy bear, and then, you know, defending him from all these men. But I think that's just it. Like you say, just the way it's established is very confusing at first. And because you're paying attention to the cool fight scenes, it's even harder to pay attention, because you're like, who's
it would have been like a lone wolf and cub kind of thing.
Oh yeah. An honor system. Really, yeah, the best way to enjoy this movie really is do it as a double feature, I find, with something like Tango and Cash, or even The Replacement Killers.
Man, you're triggering some like key memories from my youth.
That's the TBS FX USA Network thing,
dude. That's awesome.
How did you get into them? Like,
I remember when this movie came out, it was at a time in my life where
it was but it was barely.
Yeah.
Level. It was just like one guy gets shot in the face, and I think there was a sexual reference and maybe two F-bombs in the music, but
it was really tame. And when I think I was at that point in my life where I was just starting to really like take notice of actors instead of characters. Mm-hmm. Like I remember
the name.
Like GoldenEye was, yes, I think, my first James Bond movie. And then I started seeing Pierce Brosnan and other things. And I was like, wait, why do they have James Bond in this movie? And then, yeah, so I was like, seeing Antonio Banderas and Lucy Liu, the advertising for this movie was all over the place.
Yeah.
And then when it came out, it bombed, and it was like,
it was the talk definitely of the town. 2002 was a weird year, man. I remember seeing this and Trapped, just trailers for them. And next thing you know, like 2 months later, they're on home video. I'm like, what happened? And then I would see it would even happen to good movies. Like Franchise produced a similar movie by Mamet called Spartan with Val Kilmer.
Spartan with Val Kilmer. That is ringing a bell.
And it was just a same kind of deal where it was just like, it's a one. Well-reviewed movie, but no one saw it at all. Like, it made like $88,000, something ridiculous. Like, it's
wow.
And then just straight. And so I saw it was happening more with more frequency, and I had no way of even seeing these because either these movies were rated R and, you know, I had strict guidelines, or they weren't even playing at even my local mall. So I'm like, where do I even see this movie? I want to see it. I read the TV Guide and, you know, Dallas Morning News. I read Entertainment Weekly. I read all these magazines and I want to see these movies, but they're nowhere in my state.
That's funny. So I seeing like Antonio Banderas and Lucy Liu was like, this is going to be great. And I feel now that you told me that the movie was kind of just completely like mutilated, but watching it, I was like, did they just film like 10 movie trailers and then stitch them together? Like the thing like with the music being so loud, like
it's
really
a
messed
up type movie.
Yep. And the movie just starts like there is just a like oh, we're in it, and like the intro like flybys with like stock footage remind me of like an episode of CSI Miami.
Yes. Oh my god. Same year. And, but yeah, same kind of movie. And it's a fun spotting the various Canadian actors who you've seen in all other stuff like X-Men and Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, you know, just... yeah. And the movie just starts, and I'm kind of a gun nut. Like I'm really into just like different firearms and like their history and everything. And so this movie had a lot of different guns in it. Some that like didn't make sense. Heckler and Koch had to have been like a sponsor of this movie, because like their logo is prominent on a bunch of things and like a lot of
it's a Death Wish free kind of thing, where it's like, let's put you in as many close-ups as we can.
yep. And the one thing that like really like the DIA sniper team, they looked like the cover art characters from Counter-Strike Source with like the green shirt.
This is where it gets
like
all Tom Clancy-ish, and I saw that and this is where criticism kind of blurred for me, where I would see how critics were like, we hate, you know, nonstop masked you know, henchmen. I'm like, well, for me, this is kind of a stormtrooper red shirt effect. I don't need to see their face. I kind of find their armor kind of cool, but it is weird when you even watch this. Like, if you even want to look at this plot even more, this is almost the plot for Sicario. They go to another country off the grid and pursue an assassin.
Okay,
and killing everybody. But what's even weird is I know some people are even comparing this to a South Korean film called Sweary, which is a pretty awesome film, but it's same kind of deal, a Nikita type assassin, you know, just going after some terrorists behind the curb, you know, detective who's following them. And so it's interesting just seeing how like you say, it's an imperfect film and there's some bullshit going on that definitely made better sense on screenplay. And I had seen clips of the video game. The first X and Sever game was kind of a mess for me. I was like, wow, this is a little confusing, kind of like the movie. But then there was like the main one by BAM Entertainment, and I was like, okay, so this is kind of interesting. There's kind of, it's kind of is more like GoldenEye, like you say, where there's they're kind of stealing all kinds of technology and
And
is that helicopter on the cover? Is that, I'm not sure if that's in the game.
to get back, sorry if I'm so disjointed, because
no, like, it's fine. It's a lot to take in. It's
this property is like a rock tumbler with so much stuff going on. But yeah. So the games, I had never heard of them until like 10 years after the release. It had to have been like deep into the YouTube era where totally. It was like
post 07.
Yeah. And then people would be like, hey, did you know that there were first person shooters on the Game Boy Advance? And I'm like, there were? That's wild. there's only 13 first person shooter games, and two of them are X versus Sever.
Yes.
So the first one, the first one is just X versus Sever. That came out a year before the movie, mm-hmm. and it was based off of the screenplay.
Yep.
So the story
changed Sever from a man to a woman. So then they're like, redesign the cover. It's not a guy anymore.
Yeah.
The director was able to confirm those rumors that are on IMDb about who was originally supposed to. Do you want me to even read it off for you?
Oh yeah, no, go ahead. Yeah, my jaw's well, on the ground right now.
It's relevant in that then we can wonder, you know, who would have probably originally been in the movie. Chow Yun-fat and Jean Reno were the original options, and I was able to add that trivia. Whoa. But they were not in the budget. Long story short, so never even came up. But he did confirm the original guys who tested together. And so he's like, yeah. So first it was Wesley Snipes and Jet Li.
Whoa. Okay.
So to me, that is Art of War meets Fist of Legend right there.
Yeah. Yep.
Art of War is another movie I kind of have a soft spot for. So my own distorted mind doing all fan films and everything, I feel like this is kind of in that same universe.
Yeah.
And so the next guys who tested were Vin Diesel and Sylvester Stallone.
Whoa, dude.
And I'm not sure how I feel about Rambo and Fast and Furious.
was Vin Diesel in any of the Expendable movies?
Not yet, but he might as not well. Yet. I mean, The Rock.
Yeah.
Was.
yeah. Okay. Man. And it's not just so Antonio Banderas did a good job. Like he's
like the main thing everyone says awesome stuff about, saying he is the most believable alcoholic agent we've seen.
He did a good job. Everybody did a competent job. I feel like Lucy Liu was written very robotic. So she didn't like
Data on Star Trek. Hello.
Yeah. But so it's funny because the games are good, but it's just so easy to talk about a dumpster fire. But the games, like, it came to me on like a YouTube, like top 10, like this.
Nice.
And I was like X versus Sever, that dog shit movie, it had two video games, and they were genre defying for the system. That I was like, that's gotta be wild. And so the first one that is based off of the original screenplay, I just played a little bit of both of them today. I liked the first one better. It's at the time, I feel like it would have been really, really easy to get into, but I kind of had playing it today, especially, I had to relearn some muscle memory where, because I play a lot of first person shooters on the mouse and keyboard. So like my muscle memory, like I kept like turning into walls and stuff, but it is, the company that, developed it was Crawfish Interactive, and they originally wrote their own engine for, Duke Nukem, 3D game.
Oh my God.
Yes.
The number one game that everyone wants, but no one knows how to make a coherent game of, no matter the budget.
Yeah. So it was They used an engine for that had already existed.
That makes sense. The graphics kind of give me a kind of similar feel of over exaggerated muscular men, you know, with gigantic sci-fi weapons that don't exist in real life but look like the BFG from Doom.
The thing that playing it today that jumped into me was have you played Star Wars Shadows of the Empire on the Nintendo 64?
Yes. Oh my God, dude. I was such a diehard fan. Like, I read the comic, I read the book, and then I played the game.
Yep.
Future episode, guys.
Oh yeah, hell yeah, we'll do that. Speaking on that, I didn't even know there was a book series and like all this other stuff in the PC version of Shadows of the Empire.
Was weird back then. It's dude. Like they want it was like word of mouth, and it's like, well, yeah. Where did you print that? Because I didn't buy the comic, so I didn't see that ad. So where did that come
from? Yeah, where did that go? And I do want to correct myself. It was Doom 2, not Duke Nukem. There was a Duke Nukem FPS GBA game, but Crawfish had worked on a Doom tech demo. But when you pick up ammunition in this game, it is the exact same stock sound footage from picking up seeker missiles in Shadows of the Empire, and I couldn't disconnect the two from my brain. Like it's the sound effect is like. Like everyone's heard it. It's from
so
like
weird to me. It sounded like they were doing a stock load sound effect, but then speeding it up to give it a futuristic vibe. And the fact that they just did a copy and paste, they're like, it's fine.
And for the time and the hardware, the games are incredibly technically proficient. The sprites have a lot of frames of animation, and your weapon sprites are like that pseudo 3D from like Donkey Kong Country, where they had like 3D sprites.
Wow.
So
now I'm
so
mad,
it's
even more mad that this wasn't in the movie. It's like, we need ridiculous armor and make it so.
Yeah. So it, they play very well. I did like the first one better. The second one looked flashier, but it had you jumping all
that
over
the
place.
That might be the one I'm mistaking it for. I do recall you would pick up a bunch of like giant machine guns, but the henchmen and how they fell down was kind of bland.
Yeah, I mean, there's that,
and it softened the sound effect to make it sound more PG. You know, again, it's Game Boy. We got to make it Star Wars level, which is so weird because I do feel like you kind of, Darth Maul connection aside, you do kind of have to take this as a Star Wars, Star Trek type thing. It's got all this nano tech, but it's literally the Miguel Sandoval guy. He's Obi-Wan. But if he were to bribe Luke Skywalker and say, you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. Your wife's like, alive.
Yeah, you got it. You'll get it.
I don't think there were any Wilhelm noises, which is sadly lacking from most video games. People have overused it. It's like they don't use it anymore. It's like, I want more Wilhelms in action movies. Surprisingly, I didn't hear any in John Wick. I'm like, where are the Wilhelms?
What's the scream? I think it's called the Brody scream. Is that it?
With the more.
There's another scream. I think it's called the Brody scream sound effect. I'm consulting the
Is
book
it
of
like
knowledge
from Jaws right? or something or?
No, it was from like a Brody. weird random like 80s action movie, and it's a really long, it's like
oh yeah, 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 that, yes, oh my god, that,
Yeah.
I think it was Troll too. Yeah.
Oh man, we are all over the place. I will find it and you can put it in the show notes. '80s movie, but
it might be one of those dumb canon films, ninja movies. I can never remember either, but I know the one you're talking about now, where it's just like,
yeah, it's very long winded. I would, if anyone is into retro emulation, especially like this game didn't even like I was deep into the Game Boy Advanced ecosystem. And that was my, you know, handheld. I got the DS. I had the PSP, but I stayed fun.
You could get away with all kinds of fighting without being worried. Hey, maybe I saw some blood, but it's okay because there's a, you know.
Yeah. So I would say if you're into retro emulation and you are a bit on the younger side and you didn't get to check out the Game Boy Advance, you know, when it was out, give these games a try, because the technological aspect of it is really fascinating. Like it reminds me of have you played Resident Evil 2?
I have not. I have seen gameplay, so I'm the odd duck out. You know, I know about the various stuff about Jill Valentine and the actual and Leon, yeah, having more depth. And
oh, okay. Well, the Resident Evil 2 was a PlayStation launch game, and it had a full motion video. It had a lot of voice clips. There was a lot of sound effects in it, and it was thought that this could only be played on a CD based console. And I can't remember the name of the studio, but they ported it to the N64, and they got this giant like 700 megabyte game, and they were able to fit it on a 64 megabyte chip. And it had all the cutscenes, and it had all the voice acting, and it is like you had to have. It's like
CD-ROM era, you know. It's like where, yes, animation was on a timer; it would repeat if you weren't going to the next stage, and you can tell it's a green screen in the same room, and then it, you know, pause.
So, like the first-person shooters on the GBA shouldn't work. There's a lot of you know, wizardry and very competent programming.
Well, and Doom had kind of and Tomb Raider all kind of had the Indiana Jones and Die Hard tropes, and with a bit of an alien underbelly, or it's like you must escape from this lab, you know, but before you get overtaken and, you know, by the siege of, you know, creatures, Nemesis and all these other guys. Yeah.
And so being one of like the worst movies of all time, the X versus Sever games are some of the best rated Game Boy Advance games of all time. something that kind of clicked today is that they're in the opening level of the first game. You're like going around some like shipping containers, and there's like cardboard boxes that you have to like navigate around. But instead of being like a single object or an entity with like an impact, not an impact spray, but like an invisible wall, like, oh, I can't go past these, you're able to shoot past these like clusters of objects, which is pretty, like, to have that geometry coded into the game where like there's a stack of boxes, but you can shoot in between them, especially for a Game Boy game, is insane that somebody was able to put this onto a little cartridge. Yeah. And it's very, very good games. The go check them out. You can find online emulators. If you got a Steam Deck, it'll run, you know, flawlessly on that, or some of those retro handheld emulators. Yeah, unfortunately, this also falls into a category of what's that bad Wolverine movie with like the wrong
Origins.
Deadpool?
It had a very Origins. Gory M-rated one that looked really awesome. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, and That's the only other one that I can think of like right away where
there's been James Bond games that had better games, you know, based off their so-called movie. And, you know, I know the Constantine game is kind of popular, you know, there's all kinds of stuff, exceptions to the rule.
So like the movie tie-in game isn't always like garbage. Like the, there was, Lord of the Rings. What's very the third one? Stuff. What's the third
Return
one?
Return of the King was very interactive.
Yeah. So that was like a really competent game. So don't, just because it's one of the worst reviewed movies of all time, don't think the Game Boy game is gonna lead you astray.
I even wrote a fan film on Ballistic where they're fighting Jason Bourne.
Oh, dude, hell yeah! That's that. This movie wanted to be so many different things, and I had forgotten that we had set this up for like Cyberpunk week until you said it in the the intro, and then it hit me like half like. The movie like has the narrative motivation for the movie was like nanobots, and I was like, what the hell, like this this is supposed to be
did
like
I
a
miss
spy
something, was it deleted,
just all of a sudden it's like, yeah, they got nanobots that can give you a heart
are
give
they
you a heart
all
attack
these boxes of that so-called game that they didn't make it to the draft of the movie on the day of shooting. Not sure what's going on here, but it's wild how you're bringing up the Resident Evil stuff, because
it's a nano machine, son.
A nano machine, and it will power you up. Maybe it'll turn you big, like some of those power ups Mario and Luigi stuff on. I don't know. I can only hope with more video games getting the time of day that finally people are speaking the same language and studio execs are leaving them alone, because that's really what it is. Like, imagine doing a game based off anything nowadays, you know.
And I think I would say the last decade for sure, the movie tie-in game, and this just could be that my exposure to it has dwindled significantly, but the movie tie-in game kind of like went away. Like we would have these big we'd have these like there's Marvel games, there's Avenger games, but they're not like
a $1 million thing for them to
And it's not like a day and date release. Here's another movie tie-in game that I loved, kind of got panned a little bit, but the Enter the Matrix game for the GameCube and the PS1, the Wachowskis. It got released on the same day the second movie was in theaters, and there's stuff that you do in the game that affect the movie. And at one point in the movie, you see Ghost and Naomi, like in the background of a scene. You're like, I saw that cutscene in the game. And there's like in the movie, like all the
I promise we'll get you on the Matrix special, because we're talking
hell yeah I could talk about the Matrix and the Animatrix all day, but that also blew my mind as a kid, where it was like in the movie, like, hey, we need to do this attack, we need to blow up the power station.
The supporting characters are just as important.
Yeah, and then in the game you go blow up the power station. And like the intertwined media,
the movie barely touches on it. It's like literally a minute. You're like, what are they doing? Oh, they're blowing something up, but you're following Trinity and Morpheus breaking in.
Yeah. And it was so that's another one. But I wish I would have checked these games out back when they got released, because it would have been like really cool to play. And I'm looking at I'm looking at Crawfish Interactive's like their list of games. They were the folks that were working on the unreleased Grand Theft Auto on the Game Boy.
What?
And that got leaked a number of years ago. And everyone's like, yo, this is actually pretty like playable. Yeah. So like shouts out to Crawfish Interactive. Like they did the Driver. Okay, so this studio has some pedigree, so it's really not like It's not surprising that they were able to do some wizardry.
It's not like Gabe had a bunch of kids play with fire. You really did have a lot of underdogs who could probably tell you stories. I mean, it reminds me when I used to talk to this guy who was doing a speaking at my college. He was one of the heads at Sony Imageworks, who won the Oscar for the X-ray effect that's in Total Recall. And when he's, you know, arrested at the futuristic airport, and you know, that takes you to Mars. But what was funny is he was talking about, is like, I've lost track of how many times I've had a director or studio exec say, can you make this not look like shit? You know, it's an evolving process of having to talk to people who don't know how to use their words or know what they want but not how to express it. It's like, Jesus.
Yeah. And like people that don't, understand like proof of concepts or like tech demos, like
I don't even know why they do. Why did they even do early screenings with effects incomplete? Most audiences don't have that patience. They are like, why is stuff missing? They're not going to even be concerned. Yeah. They're going to just say, this sucks.
Yeah. And there was in the game studio Insomniac had that huge leak a number of months ago. Yeah. And their Wolverine stuff, game. Yeah. Dude, and like some of the like the interesting stuff, and we talk about this on the Dynamic Resolution show. Logan from the show, he really likes to get into like numbers from these game studios, and he talks about like how much money like Game Pass brings in and how much money is lost on those like streaming services. But their Wolverine game got leaked. And the discourse around it, I mean, it's barely an alpha, like not even an alpha state. And everyone's like, man, this game sucks. I don't think it's going to do well. It's like, you don't understand. Like, it's not finished.
It's like looking at a deleted scene and saying, I don't think we can work with this. It's like, well, have you re-edited or chosen a different frame? Or are you just looking at the raw, you know?
Yeah, it's not color corrected.
The green screen hasn't been filled in. Yeah, of course it sucks. It's not done.
Yeah, and that's a real interesting thing that I lean heavier on the video game industry as like what I'm interested in. I enjoy movies, but I don't see enough of them.
On Activision.
Okay, good. But the discourse around oh, this game isn't finished, it's garbage. Like, yeah, but you just said it, it's not finished.
Did you even hear yourself?
When Grand Theft Auto 6 got leaked, everyone's like, man, this looks like garbage. It's like, dude, what are you talking about? It's years away.
Too. I'll see snobs do that on movie sites saying, I don't want just anyone, but I'd rather give it to a new guy. And then one of them will backtrack and say, I'm not going to something with a nobody. It's like, well, which is it?
Yeah,
famous person being in every fucking movie, but then you don't want to give the little guy a chance to prove themselves and show. And I'm tired of the whole it takes a mountain, it takes this much money. It's like, no, it doesn't matter how much you spend, it's the time, communication, whether you even have a vision or not, or if you've just got a competent crew making sense of a moron who's in charge, you know.
Exactly, like that really hit home for me recently when I learned that I could be wrong, but the budget for Godzilla Minus One was like $15 million.
I think you're on the money. Yeah, it was very, very low budget for Japanese dollars. It was compared to Americans. Yeah. Like, yeah, they made use of everything and it still looked bigger because they had a vision. And yeah, it's just, and they were annoying having to explain this to everyone again. You're like, oh, they looked out. It's like, maybe they did, but maybe they didn't overspend on marketing. I don't know.
Yeah, right. And the director for Minus One has publicly multiple times said, hey, Disney, call me, I want to do a Star Wars movie. And it's like, dude, give him a Star Wars. That would be tremendous to
give
see
anyone,
this guy,
man. Just give all these guys who don't overthink it.
Yeah, that's give anyone a Star Wars. Yeah.
Tommy was so, but just one of these other
I have a really weird soft spot for Uwe Boll films.
No.
He's probably, so I think my favorite director has to be Guy Ritchie. But Uwe Boll is a close second, and that probably sounds like I'm a psychopath, but yeah. But the stuff that Uwe Boll did, and I haven't seen any of his like recent films, but the guy, I love that he would do all these video game movies, and even if they were dog crap, like the Blood Rain and the Dungeon Siege, even though they were like, he did Alone in the Dark too. They're just garbage, but they were fun. And he did the Postal movie. Do you ever play the Postal games?
I never played them, but I knew they were a game before the movie came out, and it was kind of like Grand Theft Auto in a way. You could go around, you could.
Yeah. It was like a proto Grand Theft Auto, but it was like you had to pee on people to like if they were lit on fire.
Off color crap.
And he did the Postal movie, and I don't think anybody could have done a better job, because the Postal franchise is pants on head stupid. And I think the game studio Running with Scissors, like the head guy, was in the movie, and like Uwe Boll was doing a presser in the movie for the Postal movie, which is like, you know, recursive. But he shows up, he's like, "You're ruining my game," and shoots him.
Yes. Oh my god.
So
it was wild.
Yeah, Uwe Boll,
it was like falling down on steroids.
Interference. he did a movie that came out of, he was like deep in the middle of all of his like video game shovel movies, and he put out a film called Tunnel Rats.
Yeah, it's which, a Vietnam War movie. Yeah,
which was like whoa, this is like, you know, it wasn't, you know, it tremendous
his other stuff.
But it was like, this guy
the war movie thing down. He had one called Attack on Darfur, and he likes to reuse a lot of the same B movie guys like Rustana Loke and Billy Zane.
Everyone loves Billy Zane.
I'm not saying they're bad. How, I mean, he did Assault on Wall Street. He's done all these other movies. I mean, and then he's done those other Dungeon Siege sequels, which is so wild.
So
I actually recommend Alone in the Alone in the Dark 2. That's no, but House of the Dead 2 is kind of more of a Return of the Living Dead kind of movie, where a bunch of frat boys and soldiers are all doing stylishly taking out zombies, and they got hilarious one-liners, and it just makes you wonder, why did they even call it House of the Dead 2? Just call it something else.
Okay, yeah, so it's like they shot it before it could get out. There's excuse me, there's there's a Nintendo Wii House of the Dead game that was what's it called? Is it Overkill? Something like that. Everyone's like, oh, all the House of the Dead games are shovelware at this point. But this game came out, and it was very like grindhouse, like 70s exploitation. And it was phenomenal. And it was so funny. And I remember playing through it with a friend, and at the end, you're fighting the big boss. And all of a sudden the film reel like melts and cuts. And then the projectionist puts the film back in, and the boss fight is over. It's like, wow, that sure was a crazy battle.
And it was so meta.
And it was so funny. We're all over the place with this one.
Well, it's weird how a lot of these movies also just kind of in games, just you can't, I would like to talk to any of them, just how did they come up with a complex game and realize it's going to require this amount of animation and cutscenes and voice talent and marketing, and something that a movie, you know, also has to do a different job of doing, of outlaying film set locations and tax cuts. You know,
It's I would say this, and the same thing goes with video games, but like the C tier and D tier movies, their production is so fascinating to me. Like just like the stuff that goes into it. There's a game studio. Oh, I can't remember the name of it, but all they do is put out, oh, it's Phoenix. Yeah. Phoenix. And they just put out absolute garbage, and all their stuff is crap. But it's like, how do, like,
why people keep using them? Were they just getting done on time? It's the same thing when you look at
how do they keep making games if all of them are just absolute trash? And it's I find those
ego.
Yeah, I find those studios and those stories way more interesting than the here's the next Call of Duty, this is what we did, like, yeah, this,
yeah, we just the remastered final it.
yeah and like the final product is either good or bad, but from those kind of games, the development story is always like, oh, I had to sleep in my office and, you know, they were really mean to me.
Yes,
like
what's the one that's produced by Ubisoft, ironically, for Apple, Mythic Quest. They show how toxic some of the game developers and gaming communities can be.
Yep.
And at one point, there's a plot line where they're like, it has the Always Sunny and a lot of other actors from Community.
It's
on Apple, and it's just so funny. At one point, one of them gets a deal to turn their stupid game into a movie. And then it becomes a mat, and then they kind of just joke around with that. Oh yeah, I was just only kidding. I didn't actually like your game.
There's Ashley, what's her name? The actress in what the hell is her name? Ashley Birch. She plays a character in Mythic Quest, and she had that like early viral series called Hey Ash, What You Playing? If you haven't heard of it, they're still on YouTube. And it's her and her brother. What's her brother's name? Her brother wrote a bunch of the Borderlands games, Anthony Birch. So they come from a good, they know video games, but the Hey Ash, What You Playing? Shorts on YouTube are so funny. Like Sully, like it's really good, and they get their dad and their mom in on it, and it's like,
oh, that has to be a trip. It's like, mom and pop, here's how you do this.
yeah check those out. What's your video game like history, like what's your
it was a mixture of PlayStation 1 and 2 and GameCube, and we did a mixture of just everything from Crash Bandicoot to Kirby to some of the other just kind of out there kind of games, even ones that kind of are criminally just not really everyone knows about, where you do crazy stunts with cars. So we did a bit of Gran Turismo, but we also did ATV off-road fury type stuff. Kinds of stuff that make you go, yes, this was a thing. I don't know where the audience went, but they did it for a while.
All those like extreme motorsport games that were out all the time,
even movie tie-ins. Sometimes you would even play a Pokemon or Digimon game and say, man, I wish the cartoons were more like this, where they just get to the action instead of the dumb story.
That game Monster Rancher for the PS1, where it was based off, I don't know if it was based off the anime or manga, or I can't remember like what the progenesis of it was, but you could put on the PS1, you could, you know, open the disc tray, and it would
now, oh my god,
yeah, everything would be in memory, but there was a part of that game where you could like summon or create new monsters, like Pokemon-esque. But to get to do that, you would take the game disc out and then put a audio CD in, and wow. it would listen to the tracks on the disc and use the analog data to generate you a new monster that you could put into battle.
Kind of a precursor to the Mass Effect kind of thing where you save your template and it carries on into the next game or something.
Yeah. And it was, since we're the same age, do you remember Scanners, that like Tamagotchi style game?
At first I thought you meant the Cronenberg movie series. Scanners.
Yeah. Scanners with the Z. It was like a Tamagotchi, like Digimon thing, but you would go to the grocery store and scan barcodes to find the monsters that were hidden in like the food.
I never saw this, but I'm looking at it and it is a total precursor to Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go is just a comic book, and you have to collect all three in order for the storyline to make sense. Wow.
Yeah. Scanners was when did it come out?
I'm seeing early 2000s and it stopped around early 07, it's saying, but that's wild how there's a racing version, there's a commander version, but like you say, it's a monster collecting game. But you know what? Someone could totally transform that into some crazy Back to the Future, you know, kind of.
Yep.
You got to collect this thing, otherwise this will happen and that will happen.
Yeah, man.
You gotta beat up the scientists and then collect the last monster.
So there's and I would put like the Monster Rancher game in like this, like the B or C tier, same thing with like the just how creative people would get. And I find that
where did it go, man? This is like
it just I think it was Radica. Which was this, like Radica did all those like portable, like random games, and they got like rolled into Mattel at some point, and they just kind of like stopped like pushing or innovating, but they had just like a bunch of like they don't exist anymore, but it was like the Tiger Electronics era and those like LCD games, like
something really missing from our culture today, because everyone's now about the virtual reality. I'm like, yeah, but and now everyone's trying to mess with AI. And I'm like, well, then you might as well kiss actual creativity goodbye if you're gonna just have a robot do everything for you.
Yeah, and there was recently like the whole SAG strikes.
It was so sad that we had to have that for this long. It's just like, come on.
Yeah, but something that came out recently on this recording date, that SAG folded to the video game studios and said, okay, we'll let you use AI voice generation in video games.
What?
And all the voice actors were like, wait, I pay you how much in dues? And you just, you what?
What you did they pay what? You?
Yeah. So the film actors, got taken care of, but the voice actors got completely shafted. And it's like, wow, like because you brought up AI. So
that's a shame.
AI voice generation, just gets easier and easier every day. I don't think I think that the whole quoth unquoth craze around AI it'll die down. Like
I have
good...
no doubt it can be used for good things. Like people are now using it for their websites or creating an app, but it's just the whole using it just because you're too lazy to create something. I'm just like, come on.
yeah. And I think that it'll always be there, but it's just going to have a different label. A good way to look at it is the Consumer Electronics Show 2024 everything. It's like the year of AI. Every like an AI powered mattress, an AI powered toilet seat that you can change what's on the top. Like it's but you know, 5 years ago it was the Internet of Things. Everything was connected, and you're going to have the Internet of Things. All the things in your house are going to be controllable on the internet. Or before that, it was like the smart home. So I think, you know, AI will in a year or two fall by the wayside. You know, there's no real evidence that slapping, there was something that, yeah, slapping AI on an e-bike is really like there was a e-bike company that has ChatGPT integrated in it. And I just think, what's the use case for that? Who's your market for it? Like, why would you do that? Why would you need to do it?
Right.
And it's like, you know, you could hey, bicycle, display my Apple Health data. It's like, yeah, but you can just look at your watch. Like, so there's the AI isn't going to be, I feel it's not going to be as big of an issue as folks are making it out to be, but it's
no telling, man. I mean, I get that anything can be abused. It's just, how do you police it when all these corporations got lawyers out the wazoo and they'll just stonewall you?
Yeah. And then the thing with that, you mentioned like lawyers and stonewalling. There's also a generation of folks who are in legislature or like in judges don't understand things like that.
They're the same idiots who were, you know, brainwashing your parents saying, this will make your kid become an incel school shooter. It's just gonna, if it's all they're doing, maybe they might be violently prone or do something unacceptable and might have to go to detention school. Maybe you can be, a parent and teach them meaning of life.
Don't give them an iPad.
We'll return after these messages.
The Jacked Up Review Show podcast is honored to be part of the Blind Knowledge Podcast Network. Join anytime, talk the talk, and enjoy yourselves. There's something enlightening for everyone with this crowd of cool cats. Check them out.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
There was there's a YouTuber named Goat, G0AT, and he blew up recently because he exposed a big world of cheating in a online first-person shooter called Escape from Tarkov. But since then, he started doing more investigative docs centered around like video games, like loosely. And he did a video recently where he interviewed two young men that had gone to jail for things they said online. And it was it was stuff taken completely out of context. Like there was one guy who was just trolling another guy in RuneScape. and this kid ended up going to jail, and the key takeaway was he said in his sentencing, like to the prosecutor and the judge, which probably shot him in the foot, but he said like, hey, you don't understand because we're from different generations. Like just because he, you know, was in RuneScape saying he was going to go shoot up a school, there was no evidence that he was going to do it. But they threw him in jail for 7 years. So the people that are going to regulate AI and the people that are going to like make the decisions are from a different generation, and they're not gonna,
it's tough to tell who's making a fucked up joke versus who is legit threatening and harassing. And I don't really know how you can. I feel like some of it is kind of like typical, like even a Facebook group, people just get tired after a while and they're just like, okay, you know, took one to ruin it for everybody, you're all in trouble. It's like, damn it.
Yeah. I would anyone listening, it's kind of a tough video, but check out Goat's video on the two guys that said stuff online. And you know, one guy, just watch it. It's heavy, and it's like, yeah, these people that don't understand, you know, trolling or like shit talking on 4chan, they don't understand it. And that's
4chan, you know, though, is kind of troll Latin, where it's just like, can we just like not troll at all? Like,
yeah, but you know, there's you know, people on there that just say horrible things, but there's, you know, zero evidence that they'll actually do anything. And then I remember,
that is also true. It does kind of go into the whole who's being a douche versus who's actually disrupting the peace, you know, and making legit threats. And I think that's just it. It's very hard to tell who's taking being legit versus who's actually, like you say, you need younger people who can kind of have done kind of psychology and can kind of have been in various social scenes, and they can kind of separate the different, you know, just, okay, this is just a toxic scene, but no one here is actually here about to, you know, legit come to the school and put someone in harm's way versus, this is just a parent who watches Fox News all day, but they don't mean anything. They're just sharing their toxic mind, you know?
And there was mentioning Fox News triggered a memory. There's and I talk about this. This was my favorite game of 2023. It is a tactical first person shooter called 6 Days in Fallujah. If you haven't heard of it, I'm not surprised, but it has been in development hell since like 2006 or so. And I remember hearing about it like on, you know, gaming websites and everything. And the game is about the 6 worst days in the battle for Fallujah, and the game is made by Marines that were there. And
I'm looking at it. Why was it delayed? Just short, long story short, was it just
so? It was originally going to be published by Konami, and when it had first gotten announced, it hit the and I'm not taking political sides here, but I'm just stating the facts. It hit the right wing milieu news cycle, and it was on Fox News. Like, this game is it's disrespectful for veterans. Like, it's gonna be doing like it's, and it just got absolutely dogpiled by.
I'm surprised they didn't change the name or something. It's just like, man, when people are just taking everything out of context. I'm seeing other people, like you say, they're talking about this. They were claiming, oh, you're going to glorify war crimes. It's like, no, we're just showing, you know, a battle that took place there, you know?
Yeah. And so Konami, a Japanese company, was like, we're done. Sorry, we pulled it. But the folks that were working on it just stayed working on it quietly. And something that nobody on the right had talked about was, hey, they They did interviews with the Marines that were there. The Marines did it voluntarily.
They had their approval. They wasn't just making shit up. Hey, we're doing the A-team and making it look real. You know?
Yeah, and they interviewed Iraqi citizens that lived in Fallujah at the time. So it went quietly under the radar for over a decade. And then a year or two ago, it just popped up like, hey, we're still making it. Here's a tech trailer. And it's so funny to me because I remember vividly being stoked for this game and seeing the folks on the right who don't understand video games or what was going on. They just wanted to get
woke. It's like, what does that even mean? It wasn't ever going to be a nice so-called game. So what is it? Yeah. Is it just woke because it has a person of color being a hero? And you guys don't like that? What the fuck?
So I remember the folks on the right hating it. And now the negative discourse around it, what is people on the left saying this elevates war crimes. You know, what happened in Iraq was terrible. And like, we were killing civilians and it's like, you don't
propaganda. And it's like, no, it's not
like, and like, you don't understand. Like they interview like folks that were in Fallujah. They got rescued by Marines. Like so the disconnect from
people do that with even shows like 24 or Law and Order saying they took a side. I'm like, they're all the creators have said on the record, we're an apolitical show showing you different sides. And I've seen people even do it with, oh, Always Sunny is like one of the few politically incorrect shows still in the air. And it's like, it's because they're in on the joke.
Yeah.
South Park doesn't know what it's saying, and South Park totally knows what it's saying, and it's doing that, and it's making fun of the fact of anyone who's, you know, still going to get butt hurt over something they're about to say that they shouldn't do. You know, they're just showing you, hey, why is this really wrong? You know.
that's a good point.
But like you said, it's dead on arrival, and it's like, it's almost like I listen to the Young Turks a lot, and there is a bunch of even corporate media kind of attack ads, and it seems like all it takes is just someone, vice president's, you know, cousin who owns a church, and he or she or his wife doesn't like one thing. It's like, well, I guess we better blindly attack it. It doesn't.
Yes, exactly.
Have anything to do with what's actually on screen. It's like, you said this one word that triggered me. I want to kill you. I want to end your career.
So there's people that have such firm opinions on something that they're not going to play the game. They're not going to consume the media.
We want to make it harder for our kids to access it. Or
yes, ruin your yes,
because we just don't.
And the game came out in early access middle of 23 last year, and it is this studio is doing everything that an early access game should be doing. They have a clear roadmap, they're putting out updates, they're listening to the community, and it's, you know, been out seven
what they ultimately care about. They want you to buy this on Steam.
Yes, and I bought it day one. I bought a copy for my friend. And the thing that really like for this new version, I don't know if it had anything to do with the old version, and you might be interested in, just in the technical aspect of it, but the whole game is procedurally generated. So you can go play a level and then play the level again, and it's completely different. And the developers and the Marines that worked on it wanted to really show how terrifying and how disorientating and confusing it would be going through Fallujah to clear a house. Because something I didn't know that I learned from this game is that there was all of these people from all over the world that were going to Fallujah to kill Marines. And it was a bunch of foreigners to Fallujah had moved in and were being like tourist terrorists, so to speak. So, so they like, you know, the Marine says, you can see it in the trailer, like, hey, we have no idea what's going on. Like, you go into a room, you have no idea the layout. And so,
and you don't have any invisible map in your corner telling you where gunfire is coming. Yeah,
exactly. So the game, you know, there'll be blocks of I would say like assets. So like this area, there's going to be a park. In this area, there's going to be an apartment building. But the contents of those blocks are different. So the stuff in the park, like the jungle gym and everything, is going to be different. The apartment building is going to be different. Each apartment or each room is going to be different. And this game blew me away. And from the technical aspect of, you know, you can get on, you can play with other people. The sound
takes the underdog to kind of just pick something abandoned, left for dead, literally.
Yeah. That's a really good point.
And it's wild how you brought me on an even bigger maze than what we talked about before, and let alone some of the other games and mechanisms. It's just like, why is it so hard for people to just sit back, listen? And it's almost like everyone's having to do corporate versions of like chess games. It's like pick your move, pick your
game. I like that. Corporate like chess.
That this crowd, we shouldn't even listen to them at all. They're just trolling. But it got picked up by five networks, even CNN's reporting it. You think they would know better, but it's a ratings grab. So now, you know, we're dead in the water. What do we do? You know, and I see movies do this too, where they go to different festivals and they go under five different names just to compete. And it's just like, man.
Oh, really? That's that's something that happens?
Yeah. Like, let's say, you know, the name just didn't stick, or a scandal happened on there. You want to drain the swamp, so to speak. You want to get any of the bad blood associated with it, you know, out to a different investor who hasn't heard about this, you know, under that name. You know, it's you want to do all kinds of things. Sometimes it's just hackery, though, to sell it short. Sometimes it is like, okay, you needlessly retitled it and you just caused more confusion.
That's fascinating.
Sometimes they'll go with like the most generic name, like Kill Now or something. You're like, the draft name was better.
that's fascinating.
We got to get rid of all these Ponzi schemes, man, and all this other, just like you say, just people who just don't want you to have nice things.
and just not understanding, like the, you know, I'm going to be mad about this because someone that I respect is mad about it and I don't know anything about it. So the discourse around 6 days in Fallujah was just shocking, because
it's
I remember
the simplest thing in the world. Like, they did the homework and yet they still got attacked.
Yes. And they got attacked by both sides a decade apart. And I'm just like, I can't believe that, because back then the people on the left were like, this is a story that needs to be told. Why is Fox News talking shit about this? And then now it's like, this is a terrible, you know, and it's not, you know, not
the
exact.
I don't even know why they do war movies half the time, dude, because people will still claim there's some propaganda in there, or that it's not 100% accurate, even when they did their damnedest. So I personally just get bored because I can tell war movies are just aping stuff I've already seen before, but there are some good ones that still come out. And it's like, you know, that was a good retrospect on a lesser known conflict, or a different take on the, you know, infamous event that, you know, was a genocide. Yeah. But in a game, you know, it's like it is hard because you want to mix in realism with escapism. So it's like, what do I do to appease that crowd who wants something gritty that's not just going to be the next Medal of Honor or
just the next like safe quote-unquote like military shooter.
You look at other stuff post 9/11 and what stuff people clearly weren't paying attention to. They were just focused on, oh, it's very gritty and gruesome, but it's okay because it, you know, this show aired after 10 o'clock at night, so no one bitched, or this game didn't advertise except like on Spike TV, so no one was afraid of their kid playing it. You know, it's like,
triggered
they don't know can't hurt them.
Exactly. Oh, and
sorry.
I don't know why my brain connected these dots, but
this is a
wild story. So when I was 16, I went to go buy a Splinter Cell game, and the guy was like, oh, I can't, you know, it's M rated. I can't sell it to you unless you're 17. And I was like, all right, you know, whatever. You know, I was working full time at the time. Like, I had a car, and I was like, okay. So I call my dad on my like no camera Motorola flip phone. I'm like, hey, Woo! Dad,
there's a throwback.
Yeah.
I'm plugging in. More than 10 minutes.
Yeah. I was pre-Razor. And I was like, hey, Dad, where are you? I need to, like, they won't let me buy this Splinter Cell game. It was like the sequel. And like, I had the first
Splinter Cell special. Just
hell yeah. Hell yeah. So I had played the first one. My, dad was like, Tom Clancy made a video game. I'm like, oh yeah, he made a bunch. So like we connected over that. But he was like 30 minutes away, and like 30 minutes in Alaska is way different than like 30 minutes in LA.
Territories and
he's quite a distance away. So when he says 30 minutes, like, you know, he's got to go far. He's like, oh, I can't make it there. And my dad, he was born in the 40s in Northern Florida.
This came out the same time as Ballistic.
Yeah.
No, it comes out, and they use crystal meth, the name of the game, again in the advertising. What's with this?
Oh man, oh interesting.
It must have been the spy movies. It must have been the anyway, go ahead. Sorry. and we'll wrap this up after his. But this is great. This is fascinating because, yeah, LA traffic. Yeah, it's not like the movies. So Alaska.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. So you
fog and.
Yes. So my dad, you know, he's a good old boy from Northern Florida. He's like, just stand by this the and I was at a Fred Meyer's, which is like our Kroger. And
everyone's got their version of that or greater value.
Yep. And he's like, just wait by the front door and like wait for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. He says like, wait till you see a guy like in his 20s or 30s come in and just ask him to buy it for you. And I was like, okay. So
are not only in a similar timeline, but your father taught you what my mother taught me. It's okay to tell a white lie once in a while. Because no one gets hurt.
Yes. And I was
actually flat out lied, then shame on you. But if you're just like, I'm at work today, but really me, I don't want to go to that party because I'm at a party I actually want to be at.
Yes, exactly. It's okay. Yes, those are good. So he said, find someone that looks cool and they'll buy it for you. Yeah. And so I was socially awkward and I didn't like, I never would have thought of doing a podcast back then. So I see a guy come in and I'm like, hey, yeah. And I was like, excuse me, sir. I just got off the phone. This is going to sound weird. I just got off the phone with my dad. Like, I want to buy this video game, but they won't sell it to me unless I'm 17. I'm 16. my dad's okay with it. Would you buy it for me? And this guy looks at me like I just killed a dog. His face scrunched up. And he's like, what? What are you doing? And then his wife comes up and... He's like, what's going on, honey? He's like, this boy wants me to buy him an adult video game. And she's like, oh my God, that's terrible. And I'm like, wow. I'm beat red. And I'm just like,
encountering 2001 era Karen's and stands.
Yeah. And they're like, that is deplorable. And the wife turns to me. He's like, oh. And she turns to me, and this will be the end of the episode. She turns to me and goes, if it was beer, that's one thing. But an adult video game, those are violent.
What the fuck? No, it was like, not any different.
And I was like, fuck it. I'm getting Star Fox. I'm done.
So you just had it up to here. It's not like you asked them, hey, you know, can I go into a strip club? It's like,
yeah, will you go buy me a bottle?
Can I rent a illicit magazine? It's like, I just want to play a fucking video game. It's like buying a movie from Blockbuster, but my parents it's not here with me. And it's
and it, I was like, I couldn't believe it. So
just a string of bad luck. But I feel you, dude. I tried doing a similar thing with my grandmother one time, and I was doing a similar thing. It's like, oh, it's by Tom Clancy. It's the Punisher video game. My sister's away from the counter room, so she won't snitch. And then what's funny is the guy at the front at the GameStop is just not getting it. He's wanting to blab it all and talk about what you do. I'm like, God damn it.
Oh, it's
all you
like...
had to do was just take the money
and just let it go, dude.
I said, oh, I didn't see the rating. I must have been mistaken. But, you know, I was smooth, but I'm thinking, I'm fucking pissed. I just not this hard. It's to like play one game.
It's like, dude, quit being a narc. Like, I remember it's
not like buying, I'm watching Saw or.
Yeah, I remember buying the Resident Evil 1 remake on GameCube. My mom was like buying it for me. And the guy at Walmart was like, excuse me, ma'am. You do know this is a violent video game. And she looked at him like, yeah, I do. So what? It's whatever. And she was so pissed at the guy.
It's a zombie game.
She's like, it's not real. And it's just like, oh, man.
You had smart parents, but it does seem like you encounter some of that too, where you get people who are just beside themselves. And I got so sick of that anyway, because like you can tell there were so many uncles or somebody who would buy something for their kid who was like only, you know, 10 or 14. And it's like, well, how did they get it? Does the adult just have to go there by themselves? And I hate that too, when parents would be concerned. It's like, well, you brought the fucking game into your so-called house. So why are you blaming the guys who gave you this up? But I still see it, dude. I have a dumb cousin who brings my aunt to the movies with her, you know, her mom. And she is always flustered when there's inappropriate content. It's like, you saw the rating in ginormous fonts. It played in the trailer before you saw it. You have no excuse. Oh, but it didn't look that bad. That comedian's funny. I'm like, yeah, they cleaned it up on their sitcom. When it's in a movie, they're going to go all the way.
Sex
jokes. There's going to be nasty shit in there that you shouldn't take an elderly person to.
And yes.
My sister does this too, when she's like, oh, why do you not like this? I'm like, I'm sorry. I found Hot Take. I found Oppenheimer pretty boring. And then what was it? That same aunt of hers, someone took her to Barbie and she was very bored. And she's like, oh, what is she? You know, different politics. It's like, no, it's just, I mean, I've done this also with parents, you know, like I showed them the new Super Mario Brothers movie. They were kind of like, it's okay. And my mom's not really into animation, so she didn't care for it at all. But they both liked Sonic because it was kind of a clever script, you know?
Yeah.
So different strokes for different folks. I think a lot of people are just so horrified. They just instantly regurgitate that initial point. People, just like with policing, you do see people who think instantly you're a troll. And it's like, no, I legit do not like that movie. I've never been a fan of that franchise, you know? And then you see other stuff. It's like, oh, well, you must not have any appreciation. It's like, I love the stuff that came after or that was inspired by it. I don't like the OG that started it all. It's okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're all going to be contrarians. We're all going to be like, well, why is this okay? But it's not okay with this. You know, you're going to get, if you want to even go into a maze, I mean, you'll see people who like Game of Thrones, but find Lord of the Rings boring, you know, you'll see people who like Harry Potter, but don't like other stuff based on a fantasy book. And then yes, games. Totally. You'll see people who love playing, you know, Super Mario Brothers, but probably don't like some of the standalone games that some of those characters are in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you brought up Splinter Cell. I still see flame wars between that and Metal Gear Solid. It's like, can we all just like it or like one of the two?
They're both good. They're both good. They're both good games.
Some of those snobs don't even know what they're inspired by, like Snake Plissken from Escape from New York. So
Yep. So, man. Well, I feel like I could talk to you forever about this.
This was a delight to finally sit our asses down and just like go in the flow and escape the insanity of life. And yeah,
the ballistics, X versus Sever.
It was a ballistic chat. Yes.
ballistic chat. Oh, man.
Hell, there was a fucking game on the DVD where you play as either Ballistic or, you know, X or Sever, and it didn't make any sense. There was no way.
There was?
Yes,
no way.
Feature, and it was just like, talk about a hackneyed game. Is like, who do I play as? And it just would show a random fight scene clip from the movie. Is like, that's how much, you know. It was kind of like that one multiplayer thing in the Enter the Matrix game where you can tell they didn't spend that much time on it. But it was even worse than that. You're like, well, how do I even win?
That's funny.
It's an unwinnable game. It's not. It's like Tetris, but with meets the ET video game, you know, the one.
yep.
It's a special feature for a movie that I would rather see there be a commentary track, or, you know, it's like, and all the That's other thing true. They have is the HBO making. So I guess there was technically free ballistic games, but
there's only two that count. So
yeah, the only two that actually came out were good. So
yeah. So thank you so much for having me on.
Keep sharing your fun nostalgia with people. There are so many people who want to go back in time. I guarantee you.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you mind if I plug the socials real quick?
Let's do it.
Check out more of me and my three other co-hosts, Derek, Josh, and Logan. You can check us out, Dynamic Resolution, a video game show. But much like this show, it's dynamic. We did a whole Christmas special where we were testing different cookies in different liquids. You can check out Dynamic Resolution Show on Instagram and check out geekscape.net. We're part of the Geekscape network, and there's a million shows, a million topics.
There really are.
Everything that Sully covers, we have an individual show that only covers that. So if you're into that, we can hook you up. And I'm Shane O'Hare. Thanks for having me, dude.
Anytime, my dude. This was such dynamite, and it was just cool to just kind of have us kind of come out of our shell. It's like, let's make this as uncanny as we can. Let's go into uncharted worlds.
Yep. Oh, see ya.
Very awesome. I will keep updating you when this unleashes, and you be safe out there in the meantime.
Absolutely. Thanks, dog.
Dog and dog.
All right,
thank
bye,
you
man.
So much. Really, this
no, no, thank no, you, thank you.
I promise we'll get you back. We'll keep promoting some of those subjects. And I'll keep updating you on when this hits. I think around, I want to say, but it's going to be before summer. That is definitely for sure. But
okay, cool. Thank you so much, man. It was really fun. So, but absolutely. I need the cat's howling for something. So I definitely got to go
create some dinner myself. Thank you.
All right. Bye bye, man.
Be safe.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.